Thought for today. Enjoy goodness in people. Enjoy goodness in people. Enjoy goodness in people. Ingeborg has a problem. She says, I like me, and the cats follow her. She says, the cats are following the I like me. But Ingeborg enjoys the goodness in the cats. And of course, the goodness in the cats enjoy the goodness in Ingeborg, and so they follow her all over the place. Goodness follows goodness. Enjoy goodness in people. How many times have you enjoyed goodness in another person? Have you really thought about it? How many times have you enjoyed good? Most of the time we're upset with people. We're angry with people because they don't do something exactly right. We're concerned about people. We think to ourselves, gee, they're not cooperating. They're not nice people. Why are they not nice people? Well, all we have to do is go back home and look in our own heart. And if we can see them as not nice people, we're not nice people. Because we cannot see outwardly anything other than what we are. And if we see everybody in the world as joyous and harmonious and beautiful and fabulous, that's the way we are. If we have only a happy word to say about ourselves and our world, that's who we are. If we ever say anything unkind about somebody else, that's what we are. Because we cannot see it in another person unless that's us. Now, we can observe the car hit the tree. Now, that's not positive or negative. That's an observation. Oh, the driver was careless and the car hit the tree. Now, that's a positive or negative attitude. If we say, oh, look, the star had a falling star shooting through the sky. I saw one the other morning. It was beautiful. I was walking straight ahead, and I just turned around at that moment for no reason at all, but I saw the shooting star. Now, we want to see these lovely things in life, if we call them lovely. And we will look at them surreptitiously. We won't even know why we're looking in the back direction, but there it is. We will always look to see happiness. We'll always look to see joy. We'll always look to see whatever we are. And if we are abundance, we'll see abundance everywhere. If we are harmony, we'll see harmony everywhere. If we are peace, we'll see peace everywhere. If we are love, we'll see love everywhere. Now, I know what you're saying. You say, Herb, how come you talk about negative sometimes? How come you point out someone's failing or someone's problem? Well, I'm a teacher. I'm not you. You don't dare see their failing, their problem. You don't dare talk about their failing, their problem. I give you a challenge. I am right here, right in front of you, telling you, I'm giving you a challenge, and then I give you a challenge, and you say, oh, that's right, that was terrible. Oh, that's right, that was God. You're missing the point. I say to you, I'm giving you a challenge. Now, how are you going to react to that challenge? This is your testing paper. And it says, are you going to react negatively? Are you going to see the challenge? Or are you going to see the light in it? What are you going to see? Now, the world doesn't say, I'm giving you a challenge. I'm presenting you with this nasty thing or this good thing. It just presents it to you. And then laughs at you if you fall into the trap. And the world laughs a lot because people fall into the trap a lot. They say, gee, is that right? Did they really have that trouble? Was it really that bad? Was it really so terrible? Fall right in the trap. Instead of saying, all is in divine order. All is harmonious. Poof! The challenge is gone. The problem is over with. Poof! The minute we learn how to pass the test. But first, we have to clean up our own house inside. We have to look at ourselves and say how wonderful we are. And that's difficult. We know ourselves. We know what we've done, what we shouldn't have done, what we should do. But that's all past. If a little child breaks a window when he's 10 years old, is he challenged by that all the rest of his life? Or was that just a growing experience? He was more careful with his baseball after that. You see, what's past is past. Anything, no matter how delightful or how sorrowful, it's past. You cannot live on the goodness of your past. You cannot live on the badness of your past. You can only live on who you are this moment. Now, who are you this moment? Are you a lovely person? Are you a glorious person? Are you a divine person? Are you a person who enjoys goodness in people? To do that, you first have to enjoy goodness in yourself. And when you enjoy goodness in yourself, then you enjoy goodness in people. But until you enjoy it in yourself, you'll never see it in other people. People who have a sad attitude see sadness in everybody, you know that. People who have a happy attitude, they think everybody's happy. I often make a statement. I cannot conceive how anybody in the entire universe hasn't had all of the wonderful experiences that I have that brought me to where I am today. I cannot imagine anyone not having all the wonderful experiences that I had. And I cannot imagine anybody not knowing what went on in the 1930s and in the 1940s and in the 1950s. I can't imagine anybody not knowing that. I mean, some people were born after that. My son was born after that. So he didn't know of those things. But still, I treat him just as though all of the beneficial things that I had in my life, he knows. I treat all of you like that. Just as though all of the glorious things that brought me to this understanding of who I am right now, you too have gone through those same experiences. Even though your age would not allow you to say that you did, but you did. Now, why did you? Because, my beloved friends, none of you can take credit for creating the wheel. But you use it. You use it all the time. You're not going to run back and try to recreate the wheel. I created the wheel. You don't have to go through all my experiences that brought me to where I am today. You go through your experiences that bring you to where you are. And I'm one of your experiences. Just one. But there are many wonderful experiences that bring you to where you are today. And I'm a catalyst in an area that you wanted to be catalyzed in. And so you come, and you listen, and you say, that's interesting. I don't believe it. Sorry, bye-bye. And that's fine. Or, I do believe it. That's where I'm coming from. And then you follow it, and you live it dynamically, powerfully, beautifully. And it's yours. Every experience is like that. Why did you come into the experience of each other? Same thing, to see whether you could stand up to your belief about yourself, or whether you could be angry at somebody because they were an angry person, whether you could fall into the trap, whether you could fall into the trap of saying, oh man, they played the piano so well, I'd never be able to play like that. I don't want to sit down and play in front of them and be shown up. They play so well. No. Remember, they play well. They play what they play. When you sit down at the piano, you play what you play. You put your heart into your music. You put your life into your music. And your selection of music, quite likely, if not definitely, is different from another's. And so when you sit down at the piano and play, people listen with a different ear. When that person sits down at the piano and plays, they listen with another ear. They listen with an ear saying, that person is quite good. They have done this. Hey, that person's jazzy. I like that person. He plays by ear. But man, I just like the type of music he plays. It's my music, you know. Da 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 da. And we sing along with it. The other fellow, that's good, beautiful music. Oh, my. Brahms, Beethoven, Bach, you know. Lovely. Not that the other person couldn't play Brahms, Beethoven, and Bach by ear also. But if he did, he'd play it with a different feeling, with a different attitude. It would be his own understanding. And he would play it in such a way that you would know where he's coming from. You'd know his heart. You'd know his very soul because it comes out of the music. The other person plays very well, but perhaps a little mechanical. And so you wouldn't really know where they're coming from, except that they've had music lessons. And maybe they play quite well too. That could very well be. Just think about it. Five people try out for being the pianist at a jazz group. All five people have been to a music school. All five people are excellent. All five people play very well. And they're all fairly mechanical. And some can transpose nicely, others cannot. But with a jazz group, with a group that are freewheelers, you got to transpose. You got to be able to transliterate in your music so that you can flow with the rhythm of the beat band. And if somebody goes off beat, instead of making them sound off beat, you counterpoint them to make them sound good. You never want anybody in your band to sound that bad. And they'll say, "Wow, I hadn't thought of that possibility." But because you supported it with your love, and because you, by your genius, could move into it and understand what the other person made a mistake. It's a perfectly valid, disgusting mistake, but you made that mistake look like it was planned. A planned bit of music that came through. Enjoy being people. Enjoy being with them. They're wonderful. My wife, we used to sing, and she's a professional and a perfectionist in music. And I sing for the fun of it. I took lessons, I did all that good stuff, but I sang for the fun of it. And so when I'd start singing, I would sing my own rendition. And she would say, no, this is a full note, this is a half note, quarter note. You got to sing this the way it's played. I said, "Faith, this is my song. I'm singing it. I'm letting you accompany me. It's not your song. If you want to play your song, you go ahead and play it. And I'll listen and say, that's very nice. But you accompany me. You transpose for me. You make me look good. You make me sound like I'm really knowing what I'm doing." And you see, that's the art. That's the art of living. The music is not written for, what would you say, God. The music was written for man. The music was written to express the spirit and the soul, the heart and the magic that's within every man. And when you sing out of your heart, you sing out of your soul. If a piano were to chime in with you while you were singing, they might have to transpose. I had Ellen direct the singing down in Guyana. And do you know, years ago, it wouldn't have worked. But now, Ellen has one thing that makes her music wonderful. She believes in herself. She gets up there and sings. And you know, try as I might, and I didn't try too hard, but try as I might, I could not hear one note that was wrong. I could not hear one note that was off. And everyone in the audience sang with her as though she were directing a symphonic choir. Beautiful. Now, she did this because she was in the feeling of the day, of the movement, of the people. She looked at the little people sitting in front of her, and she just melted. And anything she did would have been wonderful. But what she did was wonderful and made everything beautiful for everybody else. Enjoy. Enjoy, people. It's such a wonderful thing. But my wife and I learned to play together. we learned to sing and play together. And it went very well. But in the beginning, she was a music student at the conservatory in Milwaukee. And I was taking grand opera from my music teacher. But I like to jazz out. And so she liked to accompany me. And she'd say, "Herb, that's not the note. That's not the note." And I'd say, "That's my note. I'm not singing grand opera right now. I'm not singing something I have to be perfect in. I'm singing something I'm enjoying and delighting in." So when you start finding the goodness in people, the goodness in people is going to start finding you. And when you start finding the goodness in yourself, you will see that goodness everywhere. Everywhere. When Ingeborg was putting her little gist into the machine to put tabs on it, she found out that the machine talked to her. The machine said, "Now, Ingeborg, wait till I say thump, then you put it in. Wait till I say thump, then put it in. Wait till I say thump." It means it has gone through its cycle. It's gone through its cycle. It's gone through its cycle. Just like you put in copy paper into the copy machine. And the copy machine, you try to shove it in too fast, and then it doubles up. But you wait till the light goes out, and then you shove it in. You wait till the light goes out, then you shove it in. If you shove it in before that, it's going to get together with the other piece. See, the machinery talks to us. Everything talks to us if we just listen. And it'll do exactly what we want it to do. It'll tell us what we want to hear. It'll make us feel confident. It'll make us feel good. This is the way life works. Last night, some magic was taking place somewhere. I don't know what it was. And I went to find out why. But both dogs were barking their heads off. They were outside and inside and looking around. Well, this morning, when I took my walk along the path, I saw the jaunty footprints of either a large coyote or a large dog who had been walking along, and they came by and checked over the yard here. They were on the outside, and Button and Love were on the inside. And Button and Love were saying, "Don't bother thinking of this place. You just go on your way, buddy. Just go on your way. Nice to see you. Have a good day." They talked for a good 20 minutes, maybe longer. They were very busy. And I went out to see where they were. I was going to try to shorten the discussion. But Button was so far out in the yard, I couldn't find him. And Love was standing just out of range. And Love doesn't go in the cold, you know. But he was out in the backyard, standing there, talking and talking and talking. Now, they were enjoying the good in each other. They were not angry with each other. They were just talking. They were saying, "This is our yard. Pretty nice, isn't it? Don't you wish you had something like that? Don't you wish you had a master who would feed you, take care of you, do nice things for you?" Maybe you do. Maybe you're a neighbor dog. Or maybe you're a coyote. Whatever you are, you have your lifestyle. Bless you. Go your way. And it took on up the path. A good stride, too. But Button and Love wanted to tell the world that they had a conversation with a coyote last night, or with a big dog. And when they were done, then they came in, went to bed, sound asleep. When I got up, they were still sound asleep. They didn't have to get up. They could sleep. But we had things to do. Mountains to climb and rivers to swim. And they just went back to sleep. You see, we all have our job in the world. And our job is to be ourselves and have fun. Our job is to look at life and find the delight in it. But we cannot find the delight in life until we find it in ourselves first. So start counting your blessings about yourself. How wonderful you are. How beautiful you are. How intelligent you are. How successful you are. How abundant you are. I think of my dear friend Gregor. He's a good illustration in so many ways. Gregor says, "I want independently wealth." Independent wealth. I said, "Good, Greg. I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't... Greg, don't say that. Tell me all the good things you have. But I don't have them. Tell me all the good things you have. And I don't have them. Tell me all the good things... He hates me. Because I won't sit still for hearing anything but the good things that he has. But then he gets going. And then, by the time the conversation is done, he's mentioned four or five of the good things he has. How does your new car work? Oh, it is wonderful. I'm so glad I got it. It runs just like a top. It is so... I'm so happy with it, Jim. Wow, that's a blessing. That's wonderful. And how is it when you go to visit at Ramona's house? Oh, she's very interesting. She's fascinating. When I'm over there with Paul and we have good discussions with him, she's a very interesting lady. And where are you now? Well, I'm sitting in this cafe on the edge of the ocean at Morro Bay, and I'm looking at the sun setting, and I'm looking at the waves coming in on the beach, and I'm looking, and he's just telling me all of his blessings. And I say, you are abundant. You are rich. No, I don't have that much money. You are rich. You have everything going for you. And I keep reminding him and reminding him and reminding him. And one of these days, he's going to say, I am rich. I am rich. And the minute he says, I am rich, with that awareness, that knowingness, it'll be in his bank account. It'll be in his bank account too. Really. You don't know. If you continually talk about not being rich, you won't be rich. If you continually talk about using up your money and there's only a little bit left and stuff, then you're going to have no money. But when you start saying all the wonderful things you have, all the blessings that you have, your assets, add up your assets, then more comes to you. It's the cause, the law of cause and effect, the cause you're putting in motion to have that wonderful experience. Are you ready for that? It's a wonderful thing. Enjoy goodness in people. Enjoy goodness in yourself. Enjoy goodness in your bank account. Enjoy goodness in everything. Really, really, stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. If you didn't have a great deal of money, would you die? Would life come to an end? Would everything change? Perhaps a little bit. Would you not be a nice person any longer? Would you not be a healthy person? Would you not have friends? Would you not have whatever activity you're doing now? Yes. So, instead of worrying about what happens when you don't have it, start concentrating on what you do have, the blessings you do have, and how much you're enjoying everything that you do have. And when you enjoy everything that you do have, it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yes.
You should have told me sooner. But I get so accustomed now with them, it's so pleasant to hear all of you easily and well without saying, speak up, that I sometimes forget. But start, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You say, well, no one should need them. That's right. No one should need them. Nobody should need glasses. Nobody should need anything. What's your problem?
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
That's fine. Oh, Ellen is saying that nobody knows what I'm talking about. I got some hearing aids the other day, which allowed me to hear the people who were speaking very silently in my world. And all of a sudden, they were speaking very competently, very comfortably, very loudly, and very, very smoothly. But when I leave the hearing aids in when I give my lectures, I speak at my lower level, as you may have noticed at the beginning of the talk here, and not with as much vibrato, not as much power as I do when I don't have it. Because now I'm speaking so I can hear myself very nicely. And afternoon, it is a little louder, huh? Mm-hmm. Interesting, isn't it? But, you see, Ellen came up with a statement the other day. She's always coming up with statements. And she says, you know, Herb, we don't have any secrets around here because you tell everything. There's nothing that's secret. You just tell everything. You tell everything that's going on campus, everything that's going, not that it's negative, it's just part of life. And the day will come when those things are unimportant too. The day will come when we don't need glasses anymore, when we don't need hearing aids, when we don't need whatever else, you know. Like my brother-in-law, he has a heart pacer. My other brother-in-law, he has a heart pacer. My brother, he has a thing that he sleeps with. Not his wife. It's his breathing apparatus that allows him to breathe through the night because he has breathing apnea. Now, they're happy for these gadgets. These gadgets keep them alive, keep them happy, keep them healthy, keep them enjoying. You enjoy your glasses. Without them, you wouldn't see too well. You enjoy many things that are useful in your life. You enjoy clothing. Clothing lets you walk among other people who feel you should have clothing on, you know? You enjoy shoes, because sometimes the pavement is hot, sometimes your feet aren't tough enough. If we were like the Africans who were running around in the hot, hot desert barefoot, we'd have a very nice foot leather too, you know? But I'm sure even the African boys find the desert kind of hot once in a while. But think about these things. Think about these things. Enjoy goodness in people. Because goodness in people is kind of nice. Goodness in people is a very wonderful thing. Goodness in people is goodness in us. Now, shall I tell the secrets about all the rest of us here? That'll come out from time to time, as you well know. I tell people who come to me for treatment, please do not tell me your problems, because that's what I talk about. I talk about whatever I have in my mind. Tell me your solutions, and I'll talk about your solutions. John, are you rich?
Yes.
Ellen, are you poor?
I'm rich.
Oh, that's not what you said the other day. The other day you said you didn't have something.
I have all this, everything.
Oh, then that's all I know about you.
That's right.
Anita, are you healthy?
Yes.
That's not what you told me the other day. You told me the other day you had a stubbed toe.
I'm eternally perfect.
Ah, I like that. Thank you very much. What about you? Are you a brilliant lady?
I am, yes. I'm brilliant.
I like that. There's no doubt about that. You heard that, no doubt. Sylvia, are you one of the most gorgeous women on the face of the earth? Yes, she didn't have any trouble answering that either, did she? Now, why can you say that?
Because I am.
Exactly. Because I am. There is no other answer.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because I am. John, are you rich? Why?
Because I am.
Ingeborg, are you brilliant? Why?
It's normal. It's just something that is.
That's right, but because I am was the answer I wanted. But it's just normal, it's just something it is, that's true. Ellen, are you whole and perfect?
I'm whole and perfect.
Why?
Because so it is.
All right. See, these people always ad-libbing on my statements. Because I am.
Because I am.
Thank you. And Anita, are you the most supercalifragilisticexpialidocious healthy person in the universe?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Because I am.
Fantastic. Now, let's not forget that. Button, are you the most happy, harmonious, healthy, wealthy, super dog in the world? And he waves his paw and says, yes, I am. And Love, are you cuddled under that blanket, the most happy, cuddly puppy in the universe? That's coming from under the blanket. Why? Because you are. Each of us. Enjoy goodness in people, starting with ourself. Enjoy goodness in people, because that's who we are. Enjoy goodness in people, because that's what I am. I love you.